Hello and thank you for listening to Shofar Armana's Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message and that it will inspire you in your walk with God.
Great, wonderful. I would like to continue where I stopped last time, 2 weeks ago. We were talking about the great exchange. And for those of you who can still remember, we spoke about this great exchange that God calls us to in salvation, where our sin is exchanged for His righteousness. And it's such a beautiful image where this exchange is taking place on the cross. And in our faith in Christ, that is really what happens. And we spoke about this reality. I wonder, Dr. Serp. You must wear your scarf. If you still remember, you must come up. There we go. Now you can face them because you're beautiful. Remember 2 Corinthians that spoke about the fact that for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God. And on the cross there was this great exchange that took place. She being Christ clothed with righteousness, I being myself clothed with my sinfulness. And on the cross a great exchange took place. And this is a great truth that I trust we will remember as we continue. The first exchange that took place is my sin for His righteousness. And that was the exchange. Can we exchange? I want your righteousness. You can have my sinfulness. Can I help you with it? Okay, it is an exchange. It is an exchange that took place on the cross. She took my sinfulness, or God took my sinfulness, and I took His righteousness. And therefore, when I stand before God, He sees the righteousness of Christ. And we are clothed with His righteousness. And Christ bore the penalty of our sin. And He was punished, so that we can go free. So that was last time, and I wanted to continue on the next exchange. Let's put it back here. Thank you, Jesus, for taking my sin. Can I keep your righteousness? No, you can have it. It doesn't go well with my blue. I want us to continue on the next exchange. But as I was preparing this week for my sermon, I also had to prepare for Bible school and Encounter One. And as I was doing that, I was constantly reminded again just of the foundation of salvation, where it all starts at this first exchange. And the amazing thing about salvation, as I teach in Bible school, and I've got about 10 hours to do so when I love, and I only have about 35, 40 minutes here, is the fact that salvation is multifaceted. It's layered. It's awesome in what it presents and what it gives and what it promises and what it established, far more than what we sometimes realize or appreciate or even understand and appropriate. And as we spend more time in the Word and we study the Word, it becomes like an onion that you peel and you never seem to get enough. There's just another layer of blessing and promises through salvation. But I've realized that these layers, they seem to follow on one another. And sometimes I find that some Christians, they only know about one or two and then they miss the others because they've missed one of them. And one of the crucial parts to understand what Christ has come to give us is to understand every layer, every reality, every truth, every dispensation, because it sets the stage for the other. And I wanted to move on to the next exchange, and that is simply our captivity for His freedom. The fact that we have not just been forgiven for the consequence of sin, we have been set free from the power of sin. But I've also realized I can't go to that unless we clearly grasp this first aspect, which is dealing with the consequence of our sin. Because I fear if we miss the reality of God dealing with the consequence of our sin, we will fail to appreciate the fact that we have been set free from the power of sin. And if we don't understand what God, Christ has done for us with our sin, we will never know what it means to be free from our sin. And if we don't understand what He's done with our sin, we will fall into the trap and fall back into works to earn our freedom, as if that would be possible. So you must forgive me if I stay here for a moment, because you might struggle to understand the next step, freedom from the power of sin, if you don't understand this, and you run the risk when we get to the freedom from sin that you might fall back into works. And that's why it's so important that we just stop here for a moment, so that the next phase don't bring captivity but liberty. So forgive me for sharing about this if you've been in Bible school or been with us for more than 2 years. But I want to share about how God dealt with the consequence of our sin so that we can get to the place where we understand our freedom from the power of sin. It's two different things. And I think it's something that we well understand. We all understand the fact that we have sin, and with sin came guilt. But Jesus did not just come to forgive you of the sins that you have committed. He's come to set you free from the power of sin in you. Because we had a sinful nature, and we sinned because we are sinners. Jesus did not just come to deal with the consequence, He came to deal with the root problem. And that's amazing. But I see many Christians, even though they understand Christ's salvation and embrace it, they still fall back into works because they don't understand what Christ has done. So I want us to look at this, because the two goes hand in hand. Now, I realize many New Covenant believers still live with old covenant problems. And that's why I want to stop here. You know, because there are many believers that still struggle with guilt. They feel separated from God, and they fear punishment. And many New Covenant believers have a works-driven relationship with God, as if they need to earn His love and His acceptance, that they are never good enough. And then I see many New Covenant believers, they still have a problem with sin. Sin still have dominion over them, and they lack holiness in their lives. And then there's this confusion between pursuing holy living and godliness and being religious and work-driven, where you try to earn your place in God's love. And I fear it's because we don't understand what God has really done for us. Paul writes to the church in Corinthians and says in Romans chapter 6, "What then, shall we continue to sin that grace may abound?" He says, "Certainly not. Certainly not. Do you not know? Do you not understand what has happened?" And then he starts to explain. And I want to start off with this this very important aspect. My sin under the old, and you must understand the difference between the old and the new covenant. Because if you don't clearly understand the difference, you will never really fully live in the freedom that Christ has come to set us free. Because many Christians still live in an old covenant dispensation, a way of thinking when it comes to God and salvation. Now, under the old covenant, the only thing that the sacrificial system did was atonement. And atonement literally means to cover. This being my sin, the old covenant could only cover my sin. That's all it could do. It could cover my sin. But the problem is, even though it's covered, I still have a problem with guilt. I don't know if you still remember this. Some of you might. But this rope is tied to my sin. It is called guilt. You see, with sin comes guilt, and we spoke about this 2 weeks ago. We spoke about guilt and its power to constantly remind me of what I have done, the fact and the feeling, something that I cannot escape. So it doesn't matter what I try to do, I'm still connected to my sin. That is the reality of the old covenant. The old covenant could cover my sin, but it couldn't deal with my guilt. And guilt is not just a fact, it is a feeling. It's that thing that devalues you. It's the thing that eats you from the inside. It is the thing that shapes your identity. And the problem is, under the old covenant, even though the sacrificial system through atonement, the sacrifice of the blood of bulls and goats, it could cover your sin. It couldn't really get free of your sin. It couldn't really set you free. You were powerless to be free. Paul speaks about the fact that the law was powerless to make us free. So under the old covenant, you could cover your sin, but you couldn't get rid of your guilt. You still had a problem of guilt. Now, the amazing thing is Jesus came to do something completely different, that came to set us free. You know what John 8 says? Who the Son sets free shall be free indeed. This is not freedom. This is not freedom, because no matter where I go, no matter how hard I try, I cannot escape the reality of this. It's there. This guilt always reminds me of my sin, even though it's covered, and I might not bear the consequence of it. I'm still reminded of it, and I cannot escape it. That's the old covenant, people. Jesus came to do something far greater, and I want us to look at Hebrews chapter 10 that speaks of the reality of Christ, and as something so powerful as you study the Word. The Old Testament was simply pointing to Jesus. Everything in it, everything into the Old Covenant was pointing unto Jesus. And I want us to look at that. It says here in Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 1, it says, the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. And this is powerful to understand. You might understand the law, the sacrificial system, this whole process where when you sin, you immediately have guilt. And that guilt leads to death. And if you didn't deal with this as soon as possible, you had to face the consequences of it. So you were tied to it. But the only thing that you could do under the old covenant was to cover it. But you still had this problem. But the old covenant was just a shadow of something that was still to come, not the realities of themselves. It was just pointing towards Jesus. It was setting the stage for Jesus to come to fulfill, so that we can understand how great is God's mercy and His grace towards us. How great is His love towards us, that even though we didn't deserve to be free, Christ came to set us free. And who the Son set free is free indeed. And I want to share this with you. So it says here, the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. Now listen to this. For this reason, under the old covenant, for this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near in worship. Otherwise, if it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshippers would have been cleansed once and for all, and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. Okay. But those sacrifices were an annual reminder of sins. That you are a sinner. You are a sinner. And you are guilty, and the consequence of sin is death. Every time you come, you lay your hands on that sacrifice, it's killed in front of you, and the blood, it covers your sin, but it cannot make you free. Because every year you come back with the same sin. And you try as you may, but you cannot get free. And then it says why? Verse 3, but those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sin. Verse 4, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. The sacrifice that you make every year over and over again. Every time you sin, you put over the blood. You cover it. See, the problem is that sacrificial system, the blood of bulls and goats, it cannot take away sins. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. That is the old covenant. The good news is you're no longer there. You're no longer there. Let us continue. Under the old covenant, even though the law required it, it cannot take away. And the old covenant worshippers, they had a problem. They had a problem. You see, the worshippers under the old covenant had certain shortfalls in comparison to what we have today. The first problem is the sacrifices of the blood of bulls and goats, it couldn't make them perfect. It says there, couldn't make them perfect, those who draw near to worship. They couldn't be perfected through the sacrificial system. Even though the law required it, it couldn't make them perfect. Why? Because the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sins. And not only could they not be made perfect, their sacrifices had to be repeated year after year. Every single time you sin, you had to go make a sacrifice. It was not just an annual reminder of the fact that you have wronged. It was an annual reminder that you constantly are doing wrong. And you cannot escape this. So not only could it not make them perfect, they had to do it over and over and over again. And then they had another problem. Even though they sacrificed over and over and over again, they still felt guilty for their sins. They still felt guilty for their sins. So why is this? Why could it not make them perfect? Why did they have to repeat it over and over? And why did they still feel guilty for their sins? Because the blood of bulls and goats couldn't take away their sin. It could only cover it. One day, John the Baptist stood up and he saw Jesus walking towards him. And in the midst of his disciples, he stood up and with a loud voice, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." I mean, it changed everything. John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Hebrews says, the blood of bulls and goats, it was impossible for it to take away sins. Then Jesus came as the perfect sacrifice. And John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of all." That changed everything. It changed everything. This is huge. It changes the way we stand before God. Under the old covenant, I could only cover my sin. That's all I could do. That's all I could do under the old covenant. I was guilty. I had sin, and all I could do is cover it through the blood of bulls and goats. Shucks, but I couldn't get free from it. No matter how hard I tried, through my works and my good conduct, I couldn't escape this, could I? I tried very hard, but everywhere I went, this thing went with me. I couldn't escape it. And not only that, it couldn't make me perfect either. I could not only escape it, I couldn't be made perfect. So I still felt guilty for my sins. And then there was this annual reminder of it, and I couldn't escape it. Then we continue here in Hebrews 10. It says, "Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said," this is in conversation between the Father and the Son before incarnation. And the Son says to the Father, "Sacrifices and offerings you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased." Why were they not pleased with that? Because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. "So then I said, 'Here I am, it is written about me in the scroll, I have come to do your will, O God.' You see, the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sins. So the father called his son and said, "My son, I want you to become a perfect sacrifice. So I have prepared a body for you. I want you to go so that I can make them holy. Because their sacrifices, even though my law required it, it cannot make them perfect. Their sacrifices is not sufficient. So I will give you a body. I will make you a sacrifice. Go. Let's make them holy. Let's do something they cannot do. Let's take away their sin. So my son, I want you to go." Verse 8 continues, "First he said, 'Sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law.' Then he said, 'Here I am, I have come to do your will.' He sets aside the first to establish the second, and by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifices of Jesus, of the body of Jesus, once and for all, the body of Jesus. You see, you prepared a body for me." John stands up and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." This is so powerful. Jesus said, "I did not come to abolish the law. I have come to fulfill it. I didn't come to abolish it. I've come to fulfill it. The law requires that a sacrifice must be made, but the sacrifice cannot take away your sins. So I have come to, not to abolish, but to fulfill it. I have come to be the sacrifice." Now, I want to ask you something. Jesus did not come to cover my sin. He did not come to cover yours either. He came to do something different. Come. Jesus did not come to cover my sin. He came to take it away. Will you take away my sin for me? It's that one. No, this one. No, you must put it on your back, remember? Now, please take it away for me out there, out of the church. Yeah, in the toilet. You can put it there. What's that movie, Flushed Away? No, it's washed away. It's not flushed away. Now, you can leave it. It's away. Yeah, I don't want to see it. Just as far as the east is from the west. Jesus came to do something different. Where is my sin? What is this tied to? What does it make me? See, that's the new covenant. My sin is taken away. This is so important to understand before we can go to the next step. When you stand before God, not only was there exchange between my sin and his righteousness. Many new covenant believers still think that exchange that took place was simply covering my sin. And somehow it can still be revealed. Somehow it's not been completely dealt with. Somehow when the devil comes and accuses me, it becomes a reality. And this thing, I am not free. But it's a lie. Jesus didn't come to deal partially with our sins. He came to deal with it completely. So you are free. You are free. The consequence of your sin, the penalty that you and I deserved, it was placed on him. And he was beaten. He was bruised. He hung on the cross so that you and me can be free. It's dealt with. This is huge. This is huge. Your sin is not covered by the blood of Jesus. It's taken away by the blood of Jesus. It changes everything. And more than that, verse 10 says, and by that will you have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Once and for all. Once and for all you have been set free. You see, in the old covenant, they could not be made perfect. But under the new covenant, you have been made holy. Perfect. Before God, you stand perfect. In the old covenant, they had to make sacrifices repeatedly, year after year. But now, under the new covenant, it was done once and for all. You don't need to make sacrifices for your sins repeatedly. Because it was dealt with once and for all. And thirdly, the old covenant worshippers, they still felt guilty for their sins. They struggled with guilt. You know how many Christians still struggle with guilt? But it's not tied to anything. So under the new covenant, you know that scripture that says, there is therefore no, for those who are, it's finished. Remember Jesus' last words? It is finished. It's done once and for all. Your sins is taken away. It means when you stand before God, your sins are taken away. It's gone. What happened is you made an exchange. You made an exchange. You took His righteousness, His right standing, His perfection in the presence of God, and it exchanged for your sinfulness. It's an exchange. So when you stand before God, you stand in His place. You are clothed with Christ. So you are set free. Therefore, verse 19, Hebrews 10, verse 19, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, open for us through the curtain, that is His body, and since we have this great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and a full assurance of faith that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. Sorry, I didn't add that. But do you see that? This rope is gone. It's gone. Why is it gone? It's not gone because your sins were covered. It's gone because it's taken away and you don't need to sacrifice anymore because it was done once and for all. It's finished. You are free. So please stop living as if you're not. Because you are forgiven. It's amazing. It's called the good news. You are thinking, how can this be possible? How can this be true? Surely I have to earn it. Surely I have to do something to deserve it. Something there must surely. But that's called grace. It's something that you did not deserve. It is God's love towards you that while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. That's His love. It's called grace. You did not deserve it. Don't try to do that. You must see this. Before I can go on to tell you that you are not just free from the consequence, that you are also free from the power of it. If you don't understand this, you will never understand this, and this will lead you to works again. If you don't see this, I hope it's this one thing that you leave with it. Your sin is taken away. When you stand before God, there is no fear of judgment. No fear of judgment. If you have Christ, you have been set free. Because that's what He came to do. Isn't that good news? That is good news. Don't forget that. Because the devil will want you to believe that this sacrifice was not sufficient and that your sins are still covered, but not dealt with. Because then you have a rope around you again. And if you don't believe that your sins are taken away, you will never live without it. You will continue in it. But if you understand it is taken away, it sets the stage for the next one. You're not just free from the consequence of sin. You are free from the power of sin. Because there's a reason why we sinned. It's because there was something wrong in us. Even though we tried Romans 7, as hard as we might, we couldn't escape sinning. Jesus, it makes no sense, people, to deal with the fruit and not the cause. Because if Jesus only came to deal with the fruit and not the cause, he had to be sacrificed continually. Think about it. But he came to do something far more than just set you free from the consequence of your sins. Came to set you free from the power of it, but that's next week. All you need to remember, all you need to see for this week is that your sin is taken away. When you stand before God, there is no sin. Salvation. In conclusion, once I was guilty, but now my sins are taken away. Now I am free. Who took my sin away? Jesus. Who did the work? Jesus. It's called grace. How do I access this grace? Through faith. Not through works. Can't earn it. You're free. But you are not being set free to live as you please. You have been set free to follow Jesus. Next week, let us pray. Father, I want to thank you that you have come to give us life. When we were still powerless in our sin, and we were still enemies, you spoke to your son. He said, my son, these sacrifices cannot make them perfect. It cannot set them free, even though they try as hard as they may. So my son, I want you to be a sacrifice for them. I want you to go. I want you to be the perfect lamb that I will sacrifice. That I will sacrifice. When Abraham took Isaac up to that mountain and his son turned to him and said, Father, where is the sacrifice? Abraham responded, God will provide his own sacrifice. And at the point of death, God intervened and says, stop. I have provided a sacrifice for your son. Father, I want to thank you that you have provided for me and each one of us here. your own son. And you did it because you loved us, not because we deserved it. You did it because you have a desire that we should be free. Because it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. And your desire for us, God, is to live in that freedom, not as if we're still captives, but free men, free women, free children of God. Lord, I pray that if there's one thing that we may see, is that today you say to us that you have taken our sin away, so that we can be free to come to you. I pray for that freedom in Jesus' name. And Father, if there's anybody here that is still struggling with guilt, still haven't embraced your sacrifice, it's an invitation this morning to be free. It's to be free. If that is you this morning and you want to be free, all you need to do is call out to God and say, God, I want to be free. Save me. Save me from my sin, my shame, my guilt. Save me, God. I want to receive that sacrifice that you have made for me. If that is you, I just want you to respond where you are in your seats by just raising your hand. Say, God, here I am. Save me. I want this. I want this assurance. I want this life. If that is you this morning, just respond to Him. Thank you for that hand. Is there anybody else? You could drop it again. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Thank you. Is there anybody else? All you need to do is save me. And I want you just to close your eyes where you're seated. And I want us all to pray together. If there's anybody else, you can pray with us. It's a simple prayer. It's a simple act of faith. This is how you get it. It's not something you can earn. It is a surrender of your life. And all you need to pray, let us all pray this. Father, thank you for saving me. Thank you for giving me your son so that I can be free. I receive him today. I thank you that I'm washed. I'm cleansed. My sins is taken away. Your righteousness is mine, as my sin is yours. Thank you for setting me free. In Jesus' name. Amen. It's as simple as that. Now you must follow him. Follow him. And you will have the life that he promises. We're going to end off with the songs. Let us stand. Let us worship God. And as we sing this song, let us respond. Let us respond in our hearts to what he has done for us, and let us live in it. Meditate upon it. Whenever the devil comes to accuse you, that is what he will do. He will come accuse you of your past. You can tell him, devil, my sin, it is gone. Jesus has taken it. It's gone. It's gone. That's freedom. Amen. Let's worship him.
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you enjoyed this moment with us. For more information, visit shofaronline.org.